Hi, I'm Vigdis from Iceland. I recently just took part in a BBC documentary called All That Stands in the Way. It's all about gender inequality and teenagers all over the world. I'm here with Lulu and Sway Sway, and we're actually having a pretty great time.
Because we're in New York. This is Lulu. I normally live in Southeast London, and I literally can't believe we're surrounded by skyscrapers. I've never been to New York before, so this is an amazing opportunity. But you're just looking up and like you can't even see the top of buildings. But it's been so good meeting you two.
Hi, my name is Shui Shui. I'm from Lesotho, and it's been great meeting you guys. And this is a great experience. But unfortunately, Mira from Jordan couldn't make it here due to unforeseen circumstances. So we are going to go to the BBC studio in order to go and talk to her.
You are Lulu and Victus and Shui Shui?
Yes.
Okay, hi.
Hi.
I am so sorry for what happened. I wish I could come.
Yeah, it would have been really good to meet you, but like at least we get to talk. Did you enjoy watching the documentary?
Yes, very much. It was very nice.
Yeah, it was really weird watching myself on the TV.
Yeah, it was weird, especially when they had like little snippets of me eating.
Hi, I'm Trisha from Lesotho, and along with Lulu, Victus, and Mira in Jordan, we're talking about our experiences as teenage girls. We were in a BBC documentary recently, but this is the first time we've had to talk.
When I watched the documentary, I don't know, like, for me, it is all about trust with my mum, and I was just wondering how you felt like about not being allowed out so much, and do you think it's because your parents don't trust you, or is it like another reason? Or
well, it certainly feels like my parents don't trust me enough to take, like, they don't think I can take care of myself, they don't think I can handle myself. But I think lately it's gotten a bit better, but there's still that sense of them still not trusting me. I just have to hit that one point, and I haven't reached that yet.
What do you think, Mira?
I think our parents trust us, but they don't trust the people around us. And they just feel like they are responsible about us, and they just trade us to deal with the issues and the problems that we could face when we go out without their permission.
What sort of problems?
Like a guy talks bad talking with the girls, something like that.
I think also, especially for us back home in Lesotho, there are a lot of cases of rape. So I think for me, I think that's one of the things that my parents are scared about. Mm. But then there's also a lot of killings and murder. So, well, I agree with Mira that our parents are just trying to take care of us.
Yeah.
They're trying to protect us from the outside world.
How much trust should your parents give you with boys in order for you to be able to learn what you want in a relationship when you're ready to like get married or have a long-term relationship?
In our environment, we can't have boyfriends because in Islamic law, it's not allowed for us. So for that, we have the engagement. So you can know a lot about your future husband. You can know what he wants in his wife and things like that.
Well, my mom and dad are not very fond of me dating boys. They're always talking, well, you get hurt and it's not very good for you. But I'm always telling that I have to experience getting my heart broken or being hurt so that I can learn from it.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that, because if you don't have these experiences, then if it happens like when you're older, it's going to be so much worse.
Yeah.
And you, without having the experience of having a heart broken or having experiences with boys, how are you ever going to learn about what it's like to like feel like you love someone? Or
yeah,
or like when you date now, I think it would help, because you would learn what you want in a relationship and how to balance your work and your relationship. What do you think, Mira?
I think the girl in our age to have a relationship at this age, it's not very good for the girls. But some girls, their parents give them more trust than they deserve, because they take this trust and use it in bad things or bad behaviours.
I had a boyfriend for 6 months. I think that I really loved him, whatever it meant. I don't know. Don't really know what that means, but yeah, I like really cared. Oh, I don't know.
What could you say you didn't like?
He was a bit protective. Like, if I was going somewhere, he'll always like be like, "Oh, where are you going? Who are you with?" And it was like, "That's not your business. I'm sorry." Like, I'll tell him, but it was a bit annoying. We kind of started to like trust each other more. I guess he was like my best friend at the same time. I think it was a very good experience for me. I don't think that I could ever just be engaged without knowing someone before, or get married without having known them for years before. Like, and I think it is really important to me to completely know someone and know them when they're angry, know them when they're upset, and know how to be able to deal with that.
I had a boyfriend for about 2 or 3 months. I really liked meeting him. But when we had been going out for a long time, I felt the pressure to like meet him every day. And sometimes I just wanted to be by myself, maybe meet my friends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And my friends sometimes got pretty hurt about that I was taking him in front of them, because they asked me to go out for ice cream or meet them. Mm-hmm. And I was like, no, I'm going to meet my boyfriend. And my girlfriends were sometimes not really happy about that.
You say that it will be a good experience for you. What's the good about to have a boyfriend in this time?
Well, I learned a lot about having a boyfriend. I learned how a relationship works.
How to trust someone.
Yeah, how to trust someone. But in the end, I got my heart broken pretty bad. So that was kind of bad. But yeah, I'm really glad I did it anyway.
For me, it was about learning, like you said, how to not control it, but how to not feel like you're the second person. Mm-hmm. Because I know a lot of my friends that have had boyfriends for a long time, they always feel like they're being controlled by him. Whereas with me, I realise that I need to be, like, if I ever like settle down with one person, I need to be in a place, like a relationship where it's completely equal, like in everything. And I realise that I need to know that I can completely trust them, and that, but I also learned that I need to be able to trust myself before I can be with anyone for a long time.
Before we keep on talking, we should remind you that this is all that stands in the way on the BBC World Service.
When I was watching the two guys, I was actually quite shocked at the fact that they would openly admit that they do watch porn. In my school, actually, back in Maseri, there are guys who watch it, but they wouldn't say it on TV. They wouldn't be that open about it. That really shocked me.
I wouldn't say they're proud of it, but they would not, definitely not be ashamed of it. They'll just be like, yeah, like it's normal for everyone, I guess.
Yeah, it's also like that in Iceland. The boys talk about it all the time, like all the porn they're watching and what they're watching and stuff.
Actually, I am not shocked, because they have a different lifestyle and a different environment. There's a lot of boys think like that for a girl. They just think about her body and bad things about the girls.
The thing that Zach said about if he sees a girl with a porn star body, he'll be like, yeah, I want that one. It's, yeah, the boys' fault, but I think that the girls need to start being educated, because they feel the pressure to look like that, to have that sort of body and to show it, which is not good for girls, like especially young girls, because they have no self-confidence in their body image because of the media, because schools don't teach that that's normal, and because boys put them down all the time about what they look like.
It often also happens to me, boys saying things, ugly things, and I often wonder what to do, whether to ignore them or to come with a comeback and say something to them. But always when I say something back at them, they always just laugh, and it seems like they are enjoying how angry I get. So it's kind of like they're only doing it for the fuss, for me to get angry. So it's like when I get angry, it's just making them happier. So I just try to ignore it.
Yeah. They just do it to get to you.
Yeah, exactly.
Power,
I think we should remind everyone listening to the BBC World Service that this is all that stands in the way.
You might have heard a documentary recently about the lives of teenage girls around the world. Well, that was us.
And for the first time, we're actually getting a chance to speak to each other.
The next thing that I want to talk about is clothes. Now, I'm in sixth form in London now. In my sixth form, we're allowed to wear whatever we like. And I often dress in anywhere I like. Like, I'll wear tracksuit, I'll just wear comfy clothes because I'm going to school and I want to feel comfy so I can learn better. But I often get said by girls, not boys, that, oh, Lulu, you look so comfy. You're so lucky that you can wear comfy clothes and still look nice. Or you're so lucky you don't need to wear makeup to look nice. And that really annoys me because it's like, well, who are you to be looking at what I'm wearing? I'm here for my education, not to... It's not a fashion parade. It's not a catwalk.
Yeah, well, it's a bit different for me because maybe it's just personal, I think, because I'm a type of girl who can't take a lot of negative attention. And when I wake up and the first thing I do is get in some clothes, there's a lot of things that go through my head. It's like, okay, what is comfy, what I like, what my parents are going to think, what everybody in school is going to think. And yeah, it's just a lot to think about. And all of these things maybe suggest different type of clothes, so it's kind of hard getting dressed.
What about you, Mira? Because I know that like your image, obviously, you have to be modest. And what do you think about it?
I can wear whatever I want. It depends on the place I want to go to. When I buy something, if I like it, I will buy it. But I will say what will my mother or my father would think about that because there's some clothes they don't like. My clothes in our religion, we should cover our hair, our body.
When I'm going out for a birthday party or something, I come upstairs and I'm all dressed up and I put my makeup on. And my mom, she doesn't exactly say to me, like, you can't wear that. She just says, like, maybe you want to put a sweater on.
That's like my mom as well. Like, yeah. I think that I'll wear what I want and then she'll be like, oh, why don't you put some tights on with that dress?
Or, yeah.
Like, Lulu, definitely put a jacket on and don't take it off until you get there and don't undo it until you get there. And like, oh, darling, you look lovely, but, oh, maybe you should put a scarf on to cover that neck.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you're going to be cold. Like, it's warm outside, Mom. Like, why?
For me, my mom actually buys me, like, short skirts and stuff and, like, tight tops, but I don't like wearing them. So, whenever I tell her, no, I can't wear this, I feel it's too short, she's like, no, but you're still a child, you can show your legs, blah, blah, blah. And I'm just like, okay, fine. I don't disagree with the point that I'm still young, but I don't feel comfortable showing leg or whatever. I just like being comfortable.
I think the most important point is just whatever you're comfortable with and whatever you feel good in is what you should be wearing.
Mm.
And maybe not thinking too much about other people.
What about you, Mira?
I choose my clothes by myself, what I like, what I feel comfortable in. I just wear it because I don't care what people think. I just care about my parents, if they like it, if they don't. But there's a lot of clothes I can't wear, like bikinis and shorts and t-shirts are tight or short. Because it's not just for my parents, it's not allowed in our religion.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hi to all of you listening. My name's Lulu and I live in South East London. This is All That Stands in the Way. I'm one of the four teenage girls featured in a BBC documentary about gender inequality. Now we're getting the chance to meet each other.
Hi, I'm Shreshwe from Lesotho.
And I'm Vigdis from Iceland. We're all in New York for a women's conference. Mira and Jordan also took part in the program and she's talking to us from there.
I think I would never change anything because my father, he sometimes don't agree, but eventually when I convince him and I talk to him how I see things, he see it from other side, he convinced and he allowed me to do whatever I want. Of course, except relationships and going out at night and talking with boys.
What about smoking that you said that you would like to try smoking?
No, I tried to smoke Happily Bubbly with my dad. He allowed me. He allowed me to smoke because I liked to try it, and he allowed me to try it. Yes, it's nice, but it's in our environment, it's not good for our reputation, like a girl, to smoke.
Would you change that if you could?
No, because every time when I go out with him and I ask him to smoke Happily Bubbly, he allowed me to. Because I am with him. When I am alone or with my friends, I don't smoke. But if I ask him and he allowed me, I would smoke Happily Bubbly.
Reputation is a very big thing. When people get married back home, picking a wife is a very big issue. And the parents will only allow you to get married to somebody who they know is a good person, who has a good reputation. And if people go into relationships, when they tell their parents, they want to know who the person is, what type of person they are. So I think reputation plays a really big part in our society and in our everyday lives.
It may be a bit frustrating to have it always on your mind about worrying about your reputation, like, no, I can't do that because somebody's going to think something
bad or
bad.
We shouldn't have to worry about reputation because I think everybody needs to lead like a free life.
I personally really don't care what people think of me.
I don't care so much, but I care a little bit because it's effect on my life. You know, when the girl gets married, they ask about her reputation, if she's a polite girl, she's not, how she behave outside the home. But it's not a big issue because eventually it's just people talk. But the girl should save herself from people talking and save her reputation.
So you're just doing it for a better marriage?
Not just for a better marriage, but for myself. When you hear that someone tells you that you are a great girl, a polite girl, that makes you happy.
You'll do anything for me.
Before we keep on talking, we should remind you that this is All That Stands in the Way on the BBC World Service.
Next, I want to talk about lobola, which is a tradition where a man's family pays his future wife's family either in cows or in money. For me, personally, I feel like if that was to happen to me, I feel like I'm just a property and I'm just being handed from one person to another. I feel like I'm being sold.
I remember you talking to your parents about this and saying that maybe you didn't want to go through with it. Mm-hmm. And I was just wondering how their reaction was to when you said that maybe you didn't want to do it. And if you're going to proceed with it, if you're just like saying firmly, like, I'm not going to do it.
My mom's reaction was that she asked me if I felt like she was being sold when her family accepted the lobola. Personally, I feel like she was, but I couldn't say that out of respect.
Mm, yeah.
My dad, we were actually talking about this with my dad last night, and he said he actually feels like right now this whole lobola thing is becoming a business.
They are same like our habits and traditions. We also, when someone wants to get married with some girl, he came to her family and talk with her father or the person who is responsible about her. And they agree about some money, and he pay for, not for the family, for his future wife, to prepare herself to buy whatever she wants, like clothes or makeup, something like that. It's existed in the Holy Quran. It's for the woman to feel herself precious. Shwai Shwai said, I feel like I am being sold. It's not about being sold. It's about to feel yourself that you are a precious woman and expensive.
But I don't think that should be shown by my future husband giving money to my family for me, because honestly, you know, the types of transactions that happen in like a shop, for example, you get like a tin of food there, you go to the till and you give them money for that, and then you go and eat it, and then what are you going to do with that tin when you're done? You're going to throw it away, right? But then don't you also think that by your future husband paying for you whenever you're in trouble, or if it's an abusive relationship, you cannot get out? Because in some cases, the husband's family will ask for compensation, will ask for the money back that they gave to your family. And what happens if you don't have that money on you?
The way I see it, like, I completely agree with you, Shrey Shrey. You have no power in the relationship, because in order for you to get out of it, you have to return that money. And if you're unhappy or there is domestic violence or anything, you have no way of getting out unless you completely run away and like leave that area. Mm-hmm. And I think that not having that security is completely against your rights. Like, it's completely wrong. And yeah.
My freedom, like my parents gave me, it's enough for me, because I enjoy my life. He allowed me to go out with my friends. They can come. We can do whatever we want, but with their permission.
But did you not say that your dad, like, he won't let you hang around with certain people? He doesn't approve of some people that you would like to be your friend?
Yes, of course, because he's older than me, and he knows what's good for me more than I know.
But how will you learn about what's good for you if you're never allowed to learn for yourself? Like, how do you learn with no experience about it?
He allowed me to talk and see by myself the bad girls, and I get away from them. They behave bad front of him or front of people. He don't allow me to talk with them.
Well, we had a discussion with my parents, and I want them to give me a bit more freedom than I do have right now, because I feel like it would be a great learning experience for me instead of them just locking me up at home, because then I won't be able to learn. You know, people learn from their mistakes.
Yeah.
So if I don't make mistakes, how am I expected to, like, truly learn what goes on out in the world?
Okay, I was really nice to talk with you, all of you, and I hope I will see you in the future.
Too. I hope you meet one day.
Yeah.
I hope you will have a chance to come to Jordan and see all of you.
Yeah.
And I will show you Jordan.
Boys, we're all going to Jordan. Bye, Mara.
Bye.
Join us tomorrow to hear the parents of Lulu, Vigdish, Shwe Shwe and Mira. They're going to be discussing what they thought about the documentary and debating the issues they face as parents trying to treat their girls equally.